Here we are. This is Real World Radio on air. www.realworldradio.fm.
Unprecedented steps in Scotland in the defence of the environment. New challenges ahead to implement proposed plans. This is the greenest programme for government in the history of the Scottish Parliament. The Scottish Government has put improving and protecting the environment at the heart of the legislative and policy programme. This was the first reaction of the Director of Friends of the Earth Scotland, Dr. Richard Dixon, to the government programme announced on September the 5th by First Minister Nicola Sturgeon, which includes a package of measures to protect the environment and combat climate change. The most prominent measures include phasing out diesel and petrol vehicles from 2032, tackling air pollution with 4 low-emission zones across Scotland by 2020, a new Just Transition Commission to help Scotland move to a low-carbon economy fairly, a new National Investment Bank to fund long-term patient projects, a deposit return scheme for bottles and cans, a decision on fracking in the coming weeks. Real World Radio interviewed Dr. Dixon to know more about the new measures, the rationale behind them, their importance, and the potential announcement on fracking expected any moment now, among other issues. We also took the opportunity to ask the director of Friends of the Earth Scotland about an action promoted by the organisation aiming to push the government to take on deeper commitments to reduce polluting emissions in the framework of a new legislative proposal about climate change.
Real World Radio is interviewing Dr. Richard Dixon. He is the director of Friends of the Earth Scotland. First of all, Richard, very, very nice to be in contact with you. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much. Great to talk to you.
Richard, we received at the beginning of this month wonderful news from your country. The First Minister, Nicola Sturgeon, announced the new program for government, which contains a host of environment measures that will improve, that's according to Friends of the Earth Scotland, the lives of people in Scotland through cleaner air, reduced waste, investment in green energy, and ensuring the transition to a low carbon economy to be really done in a fairly way. Some of the announcements from the government are, for example, the phasing out of diesel and petrol vehicles from 2032, tackling air pollution with 4 low emission zones across Scotland by 2020, and a new Just Transition Commission to help Scotland to move to a low carbon economy fairly, as we were saying before. First thing, Richard, how did you receive this news? Were you expecting that this happen?
We knew some of this was coming, but we were very pleased to see the reality of it. And it's a range of very interesting measures, as you've suggested, in all sorts of different areas. And so it represents tremendous progress. We watch the Scottish Government very closely, and there's been a Scottish Government since 1999 when the Scottish Parliament was set up. And every year they produce a programme for government, but we've said that this is the greenest ever programme for government because it's got so much good stuff in it. And it's not only that it's got very good measures in it for the environment and for justice, it's also not really got any bad things in it. So we were looking to see, they've got good things, but have they also announced they'll build some new big roads? Are they talking about expanding airports? Are they talking about the oil industry going on long, long into the future? But none of those things are in there. So it's lots of good news and no real bad news. And that's quite different from the usual kind of announcement from government of a program. So we are very pleased. And we think it perhaps signals a change in thinking within the Scottish Government, which really does mean that they're serious about the low carbon transition. So they've talked about it before, but this set of measures suggests that they're thinking very seriously about how do we bring the oil industry to an organized finish, but create all the jobs that those people will go to in renewables, for instance. And that's what the Just Transition Commission is about. So I think it's got very interesting specific measures in it, like the ban on the sale of new diesel and petrol vehicles in the future. But actually the most important thing about it might be the signal it sends about the direction this government is going in, a low-carbon direction. So it is very exciting. Things aren't perfect in Scotland. We've still got lots of things to do, and we've got to make sure that they deliver on these promises. But as a set of announcements from government, it was very exciting indeed.
It's very interesting what you are saying, Richard, regarding this new thinking, a new possibly a new way of thinking and doing things and taking concrete actions. But the question would be, Richard, why do you think that this happened now? I mean, what happened now to have really these decisions made by the Scottish government, which, by the way, are also like many, many steps forward if you compare also with the rest of Europe?
Yeah, so there are a number of things where we're ahead, and there are some things where we're behind. But I think the timing of this is very interesting. It's a lot to do with politics. So the SNP, Scottish National Party, have been in power in Scotland for 10 years, and they did very well in the elections for our UK Parliament last time, but this time, just this year, they did much less well. They lost a number of seats. And so it's prompted them to think, what can we do to show that we are radical, that we have a vision for Scotland, that we're not afraid to invest in new ideas? Because I think the thinking within the party was, we've run Scotland for 10 years, we've done it carefully, we've done it well, and things are going okay, but it's not very exciting. And to stay in government, and also to pursue, of course, their idea that they will have another independence referendum for Scotland, they need to be more popular than they are. And so this was a bid, this was a very deliberate bid, to put into one document a set of policies which were very radical and which were going to please stakeholders around Scotland. And I think they've judged that very well. So in our area, in environment and environment justice and climate change, they've got a number of very interesting things which we're really pleased about. But in some other areas, there are also some very interesting things that they're proposing that business people will like, or the health sector will like, or education will like. They're talking about increasing tax on the rich, which has been a very difficult subject for Scottish politicians, but this programme for government says they will seriously look at it. They've said they will look at the idea of a basic income scheme, which is something that's working in an experimental form in Finland at the moment. And so it's really quite some radical idea. So driven by the fact they've been in power for 10 years and that they need to do some more radical things, that's helped us, because it means some of our radical things, some of the things we've been promoting, have actually become government policy.
Okay, Richard, we know that some of the issues that are present in this programme are hardly worked by, for example, Friends of the Earth Scotland. I mean, you as other organisations, not only environmentalists, have been doing your work, trying to lobby work and demonstrations in the streets and etc., trying to promote this kind of real solutions, as Friends of the Earth International says. I would ask you, what has been the role of Friends of the Earth Scotland and the rest of the civil society in your country to promote this?
I think absolutely crucial. So some of these things are things that really only Friends of the Earth has been talking about. So on air pollution, there's a commitment to create new low emission zones. So we ordered a commitment to create one, but this is now a commitment for all four of our biggest cities to have these zones. And these are zones where the most polluting vehicles can't go. So there'll be clean air zones in the centre of cities. That's great, and that's really Friends of the Earth who've been pushing that. And so that's a big success for us, that we have a commitment to now have those zones in our biggest cities. On others, we've worked with others. So probably the biggest one in here, certainly in terms of an international audience, is phasing out diesel and petrol sales of vans and cars by 2032. And India is a little ahead of that. So they've said 2030 for the same kind of thing. Norway and Germany and France and Belgium and the Netherlands have been talking about these kind of targets. Some of them actually have them. So we're not the first and we're not the fastest, but we are with that group of the early countries to say this. And so that's very exciting. And this has been a demand from the Climate Change Coalition that we're part of. They're actually based in our office, so we're very much part of that coalition. And as we'll talk later, there's a climate change bill being considered for Scotland. And we have five key demands for that bill, and one of them is exactly this. So we were very pleased we can cross out one of our demands because we've got a government commitment to do it. So, but it's exactly because the big climate coalition, including us, have been asking for this that the government have gone ahead and promised it.
Okay, Richard, I was particularly interested in the first measures, as you said before, the phasing out diesel and petrol vehicles from 2032, also the measures to tackle air pollution with the low emission zones across Scotland by 2020. But I was also particularly interested by this new Just Transition Commission to help Scotland to move to a low carbon economy fairly, because it's also something that, for example, Friends of the Earth International has been claiming for in the international arenas, for example, the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change and the Conference of the Parties held every year in different parts of the world. And it's something that is particularly claimed by the trade unions all over the world. Richard, what do you have to say about this point specifically? How did you receive it? And yeah, your comments on that.
Yeah, I think this is perhaps the most significant thing in the document, is the commitment to set up a Just Transition Commission. And that's because the Government of Scotland, whichever party has been in charge, has never really been able to admit that the oil industry might come to an end. So our first ministers sometimes stand up and talk about the bright future for the oil industry, or how there will be oil flowing from the North Sea for another 50 years. And that's not the flavour of this document. And setting up a Just Transition Commission is a behind-the-scenes admission that there is going to be an end to that industry, and that we do need to think how to make a fair transition so that people who are experts in working offshore on big mechanical things in the oil industry can have a job working on offshore wind farms or on wave power using exactly those same skills. And so in one sense, it's a perfectly logical thing to do, but in another sense, it's a very important symbol of a change in thinking about fossil fuels in within the Scottish Government. So that's really important. It's an idea that we've been suggesting. We've been working with unions and also with WWF. And so we've been suggesting a Just Transition Commission. We've created a group with the unions to come up with some ideas for that. So we've been working on it for about 2 years, and we fed that into the government. So again, this one's in here really because we've suggested it. And I think this one we will have a big fight over, because they've taken the idea, they've put it in the document, but I think what they think they're going to deliver is probably quite different from what we think should be delivered. So our next task, of course, is to talk to the civil servants, talk to the ministers about what they think a Just Transition Commission should look like. And of course, we've already published articles and sent them letters about what we think it should look like, and see if we can make sure that it is the right thing, doing the right kind of job. So I think it's great the commitment's in there, but that's really only the start of quite a lot of work to make sure it actually does something useful.
It's very interesting what you are saying, and I will come back to you with something related to that in a few minutes, Richard. Another very important point is fracking, of course, very close to your country in England. The project in Lancashire started working just a few weeks ago, and it has been something very strong, especially for the local communities that have been fighting against this project, this fracking project, during 4 years, and they will keep pressuring, trying to stop that. But the government said that there is an announcement which is going to be made in Scotland also regarding to this. What are you expecting? Do you have any idea what's going to happen, Richard?
We are certainly optimistic. There's been a long process the government has run. It's been 2 years since they created a moratorium to stop fracking whilst they thought about it. They commissioned 6 scientific reports, and they ran a long consultation, and 60,000 people responded to that consultation, and that's probably the third biggest response ever in Scotland to a consultation. So that's really important. We helped 20,000 people respond to it, and indeed some of your listeners will have responded too, because there's quite a large number of international people who've responded. So that's a lot of pressure. It's a very big public response saying we don't want fracking. And the reports that they've commissioned look, for instance, at the economic benefits of fracking, and they can't really find very much. So that's very helpful. So I think we're optimistic that the government will look at this. They'll see that it's not popular and that it's not going to make a lot of money for Scotland. So why would you do it? And I think that's where we're going. And in the next few weeks, we'll find that out, because the government will propose what their final verdict is. Of course, if they do decide they're going to ban it, we will be trying very hard to make sure they do that properly, so it's actually banned in law. Real legislation goes through our parliament to ban it, rather than them just saying, well, we've got a policy against it, which would be rather easy to overturn. So I have great sympathy for what is happening to the protesters in England. They're facing the opposite. They're facing real equipment going onto sites and actual drilling happening. We've been very lucky that as a result, partly of our six years of work with community groups, that there's been a moratorium, so nothing has happened for the last 2 years in Scotland, and we might be on the verge of actually banning it. And fracking's not doing well anywhere in Europe, and so if we ban it in the next few weeks, or that's the decision we have, the only place in the whole of Europe where you can actually come and drill a hole and do some fracking will be England, and that's very sad for the English, but it does mean that it looks quite ridiculous that that's happening in England. And so I think the pressure will be on all of us from all over Europe and around the world who are concerned about fracking. We'll be sending our best thoughts and our help to those who are protesting in England to try and get some justice there.
Of course, Richard, just a few days after those news from your government, we also knew that the Scottish government is also consulting on its plans for a new climate change bill. I would like to you, Richard, to tell us, what about this bill? What do we know about this bill? And what is Friends of the Earth Scotland doing regarding this?
Well, this is going to be a lot of work. So we're working with the big climate change coalition in Scotland. There is a proposal for a bill. There's a consultation which has been happening for the last 4 months. It actually finishes at the end of this week, and tomorrow we'll be handing over lots of postcards, lots of signatures to the Scottish Government from about 10,000 people who've responded to say that the Scottish Government needs to do more. And that's a difficult thing. In 2009, we had a very good Climate Change Act passed by the Scottish Parliament. It was passed unanimously, so every party, every MSP, member of the Scottish Parliament voted for it. And it had very good targets in it and very good conditions attached to those targets. So it was a really good bill, a really big victory for all of us who worked on it at that time. And we were hoping for something similar, because our First Minister has said some very strong things. She's been in international meetings and she's said that we are all, so signaling, you know, pointing to all of the nations around the table in the Arctic Circle meeting, for instance, saying we're all here, aren't we, to help deliver on the Paris Agreement. We must all deliver 1.5 commitment. No nation can stand back. We've all got to do our part. So very strong words. You couldn't ask for better speeches on climate change from the leader of your country, because she said exactly the right things. But sadly, that's not what the government is actually offering in its consultation. It's had expert advice that it's pointing to, which says to deliver on the Paris Agreement, basically just don't do anything more, be up until about 2030, and then do slightly more. And then if you really want to, do a bit more by 2050. So clearly that doesn't deliver on 1.5. It doesn't deliver on the Paris Agreement in any way. It doesn't even deliver on 2 degrees. And so sadly, we have very fine words, and some of these big policies that were announced recently will help us to reduce carbon emissions. But actually what's on offer in terms of the big targets is very, very far from what we need in terms of climate justice and making sure that Scotland does play its part and is one of the good examples, because we desperately need some good examples in the UN process to be able to say, here's an industrialised country which is aiming high and can really do this. So we have a good history of good targets and a good bill, actually quite a good history now of meeting those targets. But sadly, our ambition, despite the First Minister's very fine words, our ambition for the future looks nothing like what it should do. So that's a year's fight we have on our hands, because it's going to be a year between now and when the bill finally gets voted through and becomes an act. So it's going to be a long fight, and it's going to be very difficult to make very much progress on this, unfortunately. But that's the big battle we have over the next year. And in some countries that don't have a climate bill and don't have targets at all, they may be thinking, well, it's great, you've got something even. But we would like it to be a really good international example. We would like it to live up to the First Minister's words. So that's what we'll be trying to do.
Exactly, Richard, considering especially this last answer from you, but also what you were saying before about the need that you have to keep pressuring and be sure that those measures are really implemented and everything starts going forward. Taking this into account, I wanted to ask you how Friends of the Earth Scotland will keep working on those issues now that you had those announcements, but also considering the challenges that are on the table, to be sure that your country, through your government, really goes forward in terms of combating climate change and also implementing the new measures that seem to be in that way.
Yes, it's quite a challenge in terms of resources and where we put our effort. It's really quite a challenge. It's a nice challenge to have. We've got some good commitments. Now the job is to make sure that they actually happen and they happen right. We've had this in a little way over the last year because we've had a commitment to one low emission zone to reduce air pollution in one city in Scotland. We've actually sat on the government group that's trying to do this, and it's been an incredible struggle to get the government to actually do what it promised. So the manifesto for the election promised something, the First Minister promises they'll deliver it, and yet some of the civil servants just don't want to do it. And so it's an incredible struggle just on this one thing to get delivered what was promised. And it's going to be the same, I hope, I expect, on all of these, that we will need to be in the right places, we'll need to get the media going, we'll have to motivate communities where that's appropriate to get stuff happening. We'll need, of course, to have alliances like we have already with the unions on Just Transition Commission. Actually, we've got our air pollution campaigner has spent most of her last year working on just the one emission low emission zone. Now she's got to work on four, and she's got to also keep an eye on the phasing out of diesel and petrol vehicles and what should be happening there. So suddenly there's a lot of extra work because we've been successful. And the Just Transition Commission, that's mostly run by a volunteer, and that's great. He's put huge amounts of time in. He's great. He's got very good union links, and he's brought them together and made that happen. But he is only a volunteer, so, of course, we're looking for money to try and keep him, but he could go off and do something else. So that's a bit vulnerable. So, we have some great successes. I'm not complaining at all, but it's quite a challenge on how we will keep the pressure up, how we'll keep an eye on the detail enough to make sure that all these fine words, these commitments in the programme for government, turn into a real difference on the ground for emissions, for air pollution, and for people.
It was Dr. Richard Dixon, the director of Friends of the Earth Scotland. Richard, you have been really very nice. We have abused of your time. Really appreciate all your comments on those points. Thank you very much. And I have to say also congratulations, because it's because of the struggle that organizations as your one, Friends of the Earth Scotland, and others have been doing in the last years. Thank you and congratulations, Richard.
That's great. Thank you very much, Jose. Really lovely talking to you. And thank you. We'll hopefully give you an update about how it's going sometime. But we're feeling good at the moment. Lots to do, but a good mood in Scotland.
Real World Radio, broadcasting free words, building popular communications by FOI.